Let's continue reading verses 9 through 20 of Zephaniah chapter 3. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have a wonderful description of the future blessings to come when the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom on this earth. Zephaniah chapter 3, beginning now at verse 9. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. In that day you shall not be shamed for any of your deeds in which you transgress against me. For then I will take away from your midst those who rejoice in your pride, and you shall no longer be haughty in my holy mountain. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy, the king of Israel. The Lord is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you, for I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. Once again, some background notes. We've said that the theme of Zephaniah is the day of the Lord. We've seen that there is an historical aspect to the day of the Lord, as well as a future or eschatological aspect to the day of the Lord. Now, in reference to the future or eschatological aspect of the day of the Lord, there is both a time of judgment and a time of blessing. Judgment must come before blessing. The time of judgment is the coming tribulation period. The time of blessing is the coming kingdom of Christ on this earth. In verse 8 of this chapter, the subject was the coming tribulation period, the time of God's wrath on this earth. Now in verses 9 through 20, the subject is the coming kingdom of our Lord on this earth. This kingdom is known as the millennial kingdom of Christ because it will last for 1,000 years, according to Revelation chapter 20. I'm reading Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. It will be a great time, and you will be there if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. 1,000 years of perfect peace on this earth. It's hard to even imagine. Now, don't ask me questions like, will there be golf in the kingdom? Or, Mark, will there be fishing in the kingdom? I don't know. But if there is golf in the kingdom, I can tell you this. There are no three-putt greens. Now, if you're a golfer, you'll understand that. Seriously speaking, we see in these verses that the kingdom will be a time of great blessing for both Jews and Gentiles. And that brings us now to our doctrinal teaching points. So doctrinal teaching point number one. In the future, there will be blessing on the remainder of Gentiles. In the future, there will be blessing on the remainder of Gentiles. Look at verses 9 and 10 once again. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. The word then in verse 9 is significant. After the judgments of the tribulation period, then the Lord will restore the nations, and they will be composed of all believers coming out of the tribulation period. Unbelievers will be judged. Those who remain will be believers. They will be restored both morally, verse 9, and spiritually, verse 10. The idea of a pure language in verse 9 is not the idea that everyone will speak some new holy language or something like that. No, it's the idea that there will no longer be defiled speech. That's the idea. Worshippers from around the world will come to the New Jerusalem to worship the Lord, verse 10, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, and so forth. You know, we read about this worship in Isaiah 66, verse 18. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Also Psalm 68, verse 31. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. What a wonderful time that will be. In the future, there will be blessing on the remainder of Gentiles. Doctrinal point number 2. In the future, there will be blessing on the remnant of Israel. In the future, there will be blessing on the remnant of Israel. In verse 10, we see that the people coming up to the New Jerusalem during the days of the kingdom will include the Jewish believers who were scattered among the nations. And this is elaborated here in verses 11 through 20. Restored Israel will be a purged and purified people. Verse 11. They will be a godly remnant trusting the Lord. Let's read verses 12 and 13 once again. I will leave in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall do no unrighteousness and speak no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed their flocks and lie down, and no one shall make them afraid. They will be secure and no longer have to fear, verses 13 and 16. And there will be no more disaster, verse 15. Now, let me tell you, folks, all of this certainly cannot be said today of Israel. In a coming day, it will be true. It will be a time of great rejoicing because the Lord himself will be here and in the midst of Israel, verses 15 and 17. Now, the regathering of Israel that's described here and further in verses 18 through 20 is not to be spiritualized to people becoming Christians today and being gathered into the church today. No, this refers to the Jewish people being gathered back to the land of Israel. This is the regathering that is predicted in Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm reading Deuteronomy 30, verses 2 and 3. When you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. Deuteronomy 30, verses 2 and 3. The return of the Jews to the secular state of Israel today is not the fulfillment of this prophecy. It is only a foretaste of what's to come in the future, when Israel not only returns to the land, but returns to the Lord of the land. This will be the godly remnant of Israel. This is the all Israel of Romans 11, 26. I'm reading Romans 11, verses 25 through 27. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that hardening in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Romans 11, verses 25 through 27. In the future, there will be blessing on the remnant of Israel. Now, what about practical application? Let's not forget the other meaning of the joy of the Lord. Let's not forget the other meaning of the joy of the Lord. You know, when we talk about the joy of the Lord, what do we mean? Generally speaking, we mean the joy that the Lord gives us, and rightly so. Do you have that joy this morning? Do you have the joy of the Lord this morning? You can. It's available. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Listen, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your personal Savior, you will not only have forgiveness of sins, he died for your sins, and you will not only have everlasting life, John 3:16, whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life, but you will also have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is available even when you can't be happy because of external circumstances. Don't mix up happiness and joy, right? There are many times when we're not happy, but we can still have the joy of the Lord because we know the Lord is in control of all circumstances. Nothing happens by chance. In fact, it's the joy of the Lord that can keep you going when times are tough. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, I trust that all of us here this morning have this joy of the Lord. But now there's another side or meaning to the joy of the Lord. It's not only the joy that the Lord gives us, but it's also the joy that we give him. His joy, right? The joy of the Lord. That is the joy of his heart. Luke 15, verse 7 says, "There is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents." As believers, we can bring joy to the heart of the Lord as we worship him and serve him. The joy of the Lord. Now, that's the joy of the Lord that's in view here in verse 17. Verse 17, once again. "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness or joy. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing or shouts of joy." In the context, as we've seen, this refers to the joy of the Lord when his people, Israel, return to him. But it certainly has plenty of application for us today. Did you ever think of the Lord rejoicing over you? Notice the Lord is rejoicing here over his people. Did you ever think of the Lord rejoicing over you? Even singing or shouting for joy because of you? It's proper application from this chapter right here, from verse 17. Right now, the Lord is rejoicing over us because we are gathered in his name. We are bringing joy to his heart. Now, you may have come here this morning out of duty or to hear the message or even to experience the joy of the Lord in that sense. But there's more. You're also bringing joy to the heart of our Lord. That's also the joy of the Lord. So let's not forget the other meaning of the joy of the Lord.